Hey folks, how you doing? Hope you're having a good day so far. In the last week or so, the boss of ASIO, which is the spy agency here in Australia, came out and said that an Australian politician had been captured by the so-called A-Team, meaning China. So this person had been compromised and had been doing naughty espionage style things with the Chinese and with the CCP and had compromised Australia's security. The boss of ASIO hasn't named this person for a variety of different reasons, but they told the so-called A-Team to cut it out, and they told the individual to cut it out, and there's no ramifications. Nobody got in trouble. What he was doing was serving to highlight that this is actually going on here in Australia. Take a little listen to what he says about how it actually happens.
The A-Team members trawl professional networking sites and look for Australians with access to privileged information, and then use false anglicised personas to approach their targets. Some of the names they adopt include Sophie, Amy, Ben, and Eric, but the team can and does use others. They pose as consultants, headhunters, local government officials, and think tank researchers, claiming to be from fictional companies such as Data 31.
Absolutely insane how this whole thing is playing out. It's hard to believe. We have one politician here in Australia that has been captured by the so-called enemy and has given over state secrets, and there's this giant uproar. Yet the president of the United States, the leader of the free world, is able to go about and do whatever the hell he wants, and he's been completely captured and completely compromised. And we have all of the documents to prove it from years ago. It's there in plain sight for everybody to see.
Well, in Beijing, China, they call it elite capture. And you have to say, it's an absolutely brilliant strategy. Rather than go head to head with your chief rival, the United States, trying to match their dynamic economy, trying to match their innovation and their military muscle, why not instead simply buy off their political and business elites? Why not simply, in a sense, decapitate this superpower by changing the decision-making in the United States to the benefit of Beijing? They call this elite capture, and what they're basically looking for is help on the issues that matter the most to them. And it's pretty easy to define. What do they want? They want unfettered access to our capital markets. They want unfettered access to our domestic market to sell their goods, and they want essentially unfettered access to our technology. If they can get political and business leaders on board with that agenda, they are happy to cut deals with them, help to make them wealthy to accomplish their goals. Now, they're realistic in this strategy because they know that to maintain political and commercial viability, you cannot, as an American elite who has been captured, act in a robotic fashion. So the phrase they use is they're looking for big help with a little bad mouth. In other words, they don't mind if elites that they have captured criticize them for human rights or for their treatment of the Uyghurs. As long as they are helping them on the big things that really matter, they are happy to play ball. Well, what I would like to do today is take you essentially on a tour across the United States. Washington, D.C., Silicon Valley, New York City, i.e. Wall Street, and finally the college campuses to explain and name names of those individuals that have been captured by Beijing and how they are helping China essentially moving towards ultimately defeating the United States without having to fire a shot. Now, I know those are very bold words, but I think I can back it up with information, and I think I'm going to be able to convey to you the gravity of the situation we face when it comes to elite capture. So let me begin, first of all, in Washington, D.C., the seat of our power. I'm going to talk about people from both political parties, but I'm going to begin with the first family of the United States, and that would be the Bidens. Now, we first broke the story about the commercial deals that the Bidens had in China back in 2018. Since then, of course, we've had the Hunter Biden laptop come forward, and we now have congressional committees that are meeting and looking through documents that they've actually subpoenaed. But let me summarize essentially what we know as fact, meaning this is not something I'm asserting or something I'm dreaming up. Every single thing I'm about to convey to you about the Bidens is supported by either corporate records from China, emails or documents from the laptop or material provided by the congressional committees on the Senate side and now the House side. Here's what we essentially know about the Biden family. In 2009, Hunter Biden set up a business called Rosemont Seneca Partners. It was supposed to operate in the realm of international finance. Hunter Biden had no background in finance. He had no background in international business, but that did not deter him because he had a very famous name. While his father was vice president of the United States, Hunter Biden secured some $31 million from four Chinese businessmen, and we're going to talk about them in a minute, and there is not any evidence that Hunter Biden or the Biden family provided any tangible business service in exchange for that money. Now, first of all, let's talk about the individuals that made these deals with the Bidens and enriched the Biden family in such a way. We actually know their names because they are mentioned in the laptop. And what's very curious and very troubling about this is that the four individuals that made these deals for the Biden family all have one thing in common, and I'm not just talking about the fact that they're Chinese. All four of these individuals, at the time they were helping the Bidens, had ties to the highest levels of Chinese intelligence. So you have to ask yourself, is that a coincidence? What do I mean? Well, let me begin first of all with a gentleman named Che Feng. Che Feng, Hunter Biden called him the super chairman in his email exchanges. At one point he said, Hunter said, "I don't believe in the lottery anymore, but I believe in the super chairman." And he had reason to, because Che Feng is the individual that arranged for Hunter Biden to become a part owner and a board member of a $1.5 billion private equity fund in China called BHR that was totally funded by the Chinese government. And again, he had no experience in any of this. Now, when Che Feng was arranging this deal for Hunter Biden, what else was Che Feng doing? Well, Che Feng was business partners with the Vice Minister of State Security in China. This is, of course, the government agency that is the entire spy apparatus of China. So think about that for a second. At the same time that Hunter Biden is getting sort of hooked into this deal, the BHR private equity deal, the man that's arranging it is business partners with a Vice Minister of State Security, a gentleman named Ma Jian. By the way, Ma Jian's job was to recruit foreign nationals to spy on behalf of China. So that's deal number one. Let me talk about two other ones very quickly. The second big deal that the Bidens get in China is arranged by a businessman named Henry Zhao. Now, in the email exchange here and the subsequent transfer of money from Zhao to Hunter Biden, essentially was this. Hunter Biden saying, "Hey, my family," his words, "my family would very much like to do a deal with you." Henry Zhao's response, "Yes, sure, I'd like to do a deal with you, and I want to do this on behalf of your family." So Henry Zhao wires $5 million to Hunter Biden. Now, where does he wire this money from? He actually wires it from a company he owns in Hong Kong. Here's the curious and troubling part. That company that wires the $5 million to Hunter Biden from Henry Zhao includes Henry Zhao as a business partner. It also includes the family of the former Minister of State Security, the man in charge of the entire spy apparatus of China. So that's deal number two. And then we get to deal number three. This is the so-called CEFC energy deal. This is the one that Tony Bobulinski was involved in, you've probably heard of. In the case of CEFC, you have a gentleman named Chairman Yi who provided some $6 million to Hunter Biden. Well, Chairman Yi took over CEFC from individuals who were connected to Chinese military intelligence. In fact, Chairman Yi himself came from a background of working for entities connected to Chinese military intelligence. So what do we have going on here? We have the Biden family getting $31 million on deals that don't really require anything from them at all, at least in a business sense. We have $31 million flowing all from businessmen who have links to Chinese intelligence. This is, in my mind, a classic example of elite capture. And what you have is the first family of the United States beholden I would even say compromised, to the interests of those Chinese entities that have paid him these funds. It's an enormous problem, and it manifests itself in the manner in which Joe Biden's entire posture towards China has been represented. It is, in my mind, the actual definition of big help with a little bad mouth. Does Joe Biden talk about human rights problems? Does he talk about the spy balloon? Does he talk about Taiwan? You bet. But when it comes to the things that really matters about China, remember, access to our technology, access to our capital markets, access to our commercial markets to sell our goods, Joe Biden has absolutely done nothing in that realm that gives Beijing even the slightest heartburn. Now, lest people on one side of the political aisle get a little bit too confident, now let's switch to the Republican side and talk about a senator named Mitch McConnell. Mitch McConnell is the leader of the Republicans in the U.S. Senate. He has been in the Senate since 1987. He is married to Elaine Chao, who served in both the George W. Bush administration and the Trump administration. This, to me, is another example of what I would regard as elite capture. Now, in the case of Mitch McConnell, it's a little bit different than the Bidens in the fact that they actually do have a legitimate business, the shipbuilding business. Elaine Chao's family owns a company called Foremost Maritime, and it's a shipping company. But their fortunes changed dramatically in 1993. That's the year that Mitch McConnell and Elaine Chao took a visit to Beijing, China. This is only 4 years after the Tiananmen Square massacre. Beijing was desperate to have foreign political leaders come and visit. Very few were doing so. But Senator McConnell and his wife visited there. They were not there as part of a U.S. delegation. They were not there as guests of the Chinese government directly. They were there as guests of the Chinese State Shipbuilding Corporation, CESC, which is the biggest military contractor in China. And basically what happened in 1993 was CESC said to the McConnell-Chao family, hey, you guys have this small shipping business, maritime. We're this big state-owned Chinese enterprise. How about this? Why don't we build all those new big ships that you want to ship goods around the world? In fact, why don't we finance the construction of those ships as well? In fact, we'll do something even better for you. We will provide the manpower to actually man the ships when you're shipping goods around the Asia-Pacific region. And to put the cherry on top, we will actually help arrange contracts with Chinese state-owned companies that will help your shipping business grow. They took the deal. And from 1993 to the present day, the shipping business has expanded enormously. And Mitch McConnell himself has been a direct beneficiary of this. His father-in-law, James Chao, who runs this company, actually about 10 years ago sent him a gift of between $5 and $25 million. We don't know the exact amount because our elected officials only have to report these things in ranges. So you see what's going on here? Both sides of the aisle, commercial ties, and Mitch McConnell very much fits the same pattern as Joe Biden. He does not challenge them on their technology policies. He does not challenge them on access to capital markets. Yes, he will criticize their military buildup and their human rights, but he's going to offer big help with a little bad mouth. Beyond those two individuals, there's all kinds of money sloshing around Washington, D.C. In fact, there are 23 former U.S. senators and members of Congress that right now are lobbying in Washington, D.C., not just on behalf of Chinese companies, but on behalf of Chinese companies involved in the intelligence military complex of the Chinese government. 23. Some of them are pulling in more than $1 million a year. So Washington, D.C., we have a very real problem in my mind that decision-making on China is being clouded and influenced by these lucrative commercial deals that are being offered to our political leaders who seem all too eager and willing to take them. Now let me fly across the country and go to Silicon Valley, and let's talk about some of the biggest names in Silicon Valley and how I believe they've been captured. This one's a little bit different, though, than Washington, D.C., because on the one hand, in Washington, D.C., the clear motivation is what? Money. I can get rich by doing these deals with the Chinese. If you're Bill Gates, if you're Elon Musk, you're already worth $100 billion or more. Do you really need the Chinese to get rich? No, the motivation is different. The motivation here is ego. The motivation here is pride, and it plays out in a very sort of destructive way. So what do I mean? Well, let's talk briefly about Bill Gates, founder of Microsoft. Microsoft itself as a company has been actively involved for decades in helping China's artificial intelligence research. In fact, they support two research laboratories in China that are known to be linked to the Chinese military. In fact, some of the research at those facilities and the research that's been offered had contributed to the military capabilities of the Chinese government. But it goes further with Bill Gates. Bill Gates is the owner of a power company called TerraPower. TerraPower is designed to produce small nuclear reactors, not the big ones that we commonly see in the United States, but smaller ones. And Bill Gates had the genius idea of saying, you know what, I think I'm going to develop these in conjunction with the Chinese government. And he actually started to do so. It was only when the FBI and the Department of Justice said, wait a minute, you can't do this. This is going to help China put nuclear reactors on ships and on submarines, that Bill Gates had to stop. There are additional ties as well. Bill Gates is part owner of a Chinese company called BYD. BYD produces automotive components, but BYD also provides guidance systems for Chinese military rockets and missiles.
All right, that's all very interesting what he says, and that's exactly how you would imagine a spy agency to behave on foreign soil. Now, if Australian spies were caught in China doing the same thing, I'm certain that they would be locked up in jail and they would be billed for the bullet that would be eventually coming for them. But here in Australia, for some reason, the boss of ASIO has let it all play out. He let it go. He told everybody to cut it out and to stop it, and nobody has faced any ramifications, certainly least of all naming and shaming that individual. And it turns out that politicians, even ex-politicians, have a lifelong pass to get into Parliament House. So is it true that this person still has their pass to access the most important building in our nation? Well, I don't know. No one will seem to tell us. And for some reason, we're all being kept in the dark by the boss of ASIO. I'm certain it's for a good reason. Like I said, the guy knows what he's doing. Now, this has been the biggest political scandal / espionage scandal that we've had in Australia for a very long time. I can't remember when there was something bigger than that. In the last couple of weeks, I think it's the last 2 weeks, one of my favorite authors, Peter Schweizer, who wrote a book called Red Handed, has released a new book called Blood Money. Now, it's about how the CCP have captured the Biden family, have compromised them, and how they're waging unrestricted warfare through the Sinaloa cartel in Mexico on American citizens. Now, if you think that the fentanyl crisis in the United States is the doing of the cartels, you'd be completely wrong. Take a listen to what Peter has to say about where it all comes from and how it all comes together.
As I point out in the book, you look at the fentanyl crisis, it's the leading cause of death among people under the age of 45. The vast majority of people dying of fentanyl poisoning don't even know they're taking it. They think they're taking a Vicodin or an Adderall. People want to point the finger at the Mexican drug cartels, which are certainly complicit, but they're really the junior partners here. China runs every link in this chain of fentanyl, from the precursors to the creation of the fentanyl in China, in Mexico. There's 2,000 Chinese nationals in Mexico that are actually producing this fentanyl. The pill presses that they use in Mexico to create these fake pills laced with fentanyl are pill presses that the Chinese sold to the cartels at cost. The communication devices that the cartels use to communicate are Chinese apps and devices, because the drug cartels know that China will not share those with U.S. law enforcement. Even the money laundering aspect of this. You know, in the old days of cocaine, the drug cartels would launder their money assets in Latin American banks. They now do it in Chinese state-owned banks. So China is the senior partner. The cartels are the junior partner. And it is a weapon of war against the United States. If you look at some of the other controversial issues, the violence in the streets, China beginning in 2018 started to smuggling the small devices called all the auto sear switches or Glock switches. Highly illegal in the United States. You can only get one with a federal permit. And certainly you cannot be a felon or a criminal to get one. What this small device does, if you put it in a Glock handgun, is it turns a Glock handgun into a fully automatic machine gun. They've been smuggling these, China's been smuggling these into the United States since 2018 by the thousands. And our Department of Homeland Security says these are particularly being targeted at criminal gangs and drug gangs operating in the United States. And so we see the rise of machine gun fire in the United States is up 5,000% over the last 5 years. And this is part of a Chinese plan to destabilize the United States. And there are other aspects of this as well. You know, Joe Biden in particular does not call out China for their involvement in the fentanyl trade at all. In fact, the last time he met with President Xi, he said he raised the subject, but there's no finger pointing. You know, we can't have any finger pointing. Here's, I think, one of the main reasons that that is the case. The Sinaloa cartel in Mexico, they are the kings of fentanyl. Everybody recognizes they are the biggest player in bringing fentanyl into the United States. They were introduced and brought into the fentanyl trade by a Chinese criminal gang called UBG, United Bamboo Group, which is headed by a guy named Zhang Anlo, who also goes by the name White Wolf. White Wolf and UBG created the Sinaloa cartel as the fentanyl superpower that they are. White Wolf has a business partner who in 2017 gave the Biden family a $5 million interest-free forgivable loan that the Bidens have never repaid. And so, you know, the question is, does Joe Biden really want to have a conversation about Chinese involvement in fentanyl? You literally have one degree of separation between the first family of the United States and the fentanyl trade. Of course not. He doesn't want to have this conversation. So that's the real consequence of corruption. People say, well, politicians are corrupt. They're always going to take their money. It actually has real life and death consequence. And I think that is the reason the United States, this administration, is not trying to even deal with this issue. Joe Biden simply wants this issue to go away.
This is escalating. We are at war with the Chinese. The CCP are our direct enemy. They're here in Australia buying all of our foreign assets. They're buying our land, they're buying our houses, they're buying our apartments. They're trying to capture the politicians. They're trying to compromise people that are in high and senior government positions. And they're doing that to try and exploit and blackmail you. The CCP are waging unrestricted warfare on the West. They are winning. They're winning this war. They're winning the fentanyl war. They're winning the strategy war. They're winning the IT war with TikTok. All sorts of things are happening in our society, but it's happening in slow motion, so you can't see what's going on. The goal of today's video is to highlight all of that and to bring it to your attention. Make sure you share it around. That wraps it up for this one. Thanks for watching. See you soon. Bye for now.